This is the Faith Conversations podcast. Here, we bring people of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Hey friends, welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. This is Jessica Cabrera, your host. Oh man, I am so excited to be with you guys today with my guest, Katie Simpson. Okay, I have to tell you how I met her. We were at self-defense class together, and that's where I met her. She's a friend of a friend, and her friend, who's my friend, told me that she just had the most amazing faith journey, and I thought, I need to hear it. So she's here with us today. You get to hear it with me. And by the way, ladies, if you're listening, self-defense class is definitely something you need to do. I have been wanting to do this for so many years, and I just kept on not having the opportunity, and my church offered classes for free. It was amazing. So I went, and that's where I met Katie. So Katie, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
Oh, well, I know that apparently you have some, like, God's, like, done stuff in your life and been there for you along the way, but I have no idea what he's done or how it's all, you know, gone down between you and God over the years. So I would love to hear it. Will you share with us? I'd love to hear maybe your background.
Yes, absolutely. And
let's just take it from there.
Okay, great. So I was born and raised in Kentucky. It's kind of funny even being here. I feel like my accent is coming out even more in this microphone.
Good old Kentucky. Oh, it's, you yes. know why? It's because you can hear yourself.
That's probably.
Yeah, that's why.
Yes. Yeah. So went to church every week with my grandparents. Mm-hmm. They were so kind to just continue to push that on us and allow us to be there with them.
Did your parents go?
My parents did not.
Okay.
My parents were divorced. Before I can remember.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So parents divorced. Mm-hmm. I have an older sister.
Okay.
She's still in Kentucky. I remember one of my favorite memories is my grandfather used to take us to McDonald's every Sunday morning before church, and I would get a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit and a small Coke, and it's like still one of my favorite treats.
I'm telling you, that's nostalgia right there.
It sure is.
Yeah.
And it's so terrible, but I still, yeah, still
there
really,
are worse things.
There are
worse things. It's okay. We'll forgive
yes.
you.
And then he would give us four quarters. Mm-hmm. He would give us two quarters for an L8 and two quarters for offering. So
okay.
those are such vivid memories of mine from that time.
Yeah.
So we went to youth group, we did all the things, and then through different circumstances we actually had to move to a different city. Okay. My mom got engaged and then took a new job, so we moved with her. And when we did that, I really didn't have the opportunity to go to church very often unless we were back home visiting again.
And how old were you? For the move?
Between 8 and 9.
Oh, I think okay. like
second,
it's pretty early.
Second and third grade.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
But I actually got baptized when I was 9 at the church that I grew up in.
Okay.
And truly felt like I understood but didn't know the relationship side with Jesus.
Okay.
Like I understood what he did.
Yeah.
But I had no idea why he did it.
How did the baptism come about?
Well, that's the hard thing is everybody else was doing it.
Okay.
So I thought that that was like the next
step.
What
you're supposed
yes.
to do. Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I did believe, but mm-hmm. I just didn't really understand.
Okay.
So got baptized and really through childhood and adolescence, I wasn't following the Lord at all. I didn't really have an opportunity to be in fellowship with anyone else. I didn't have anybody really leading me because we were away from my grandparents. Mm-hmm. And my mom was wonderful, but she just didn't have the foundation either.
Mm-hmm.
She has since passed. So, mm-hmm. So moving forward through teenage years and things, obviously made some not great choices.
Got rough.
Yes.
Okay.
And was able, this is by the grace and the mercy of the Lord, met two really, really great girls in college. And they just, they were still finding their own path, mm-hmm. but they also just continued to encourage me to seek the Lord. And I rededicated my life in 2008. Mm-hmm. And in that time, really understood that his compassion for me and his protection over my life mm-hmm. was something that I couldn't deny.
Yeah. So yes. I have a question. Yes. Over all of over the teenage years and maybe like early college years or however long it was mm-hmm. that you were making poor choices and so forth, did you think you were happy?
I did. Uh-huh. I went shopping every Friday because I thought that, you know, I had a new outfit for uh-huh. going out on the weekend. And I did. It's funny that you actually asked that question, because I remember being in college and journaling over and over, like, Lord, this is not the life I want. This is not what I want to mm-hmm. do.
So you thought you were happy, but you were like not fulfilled?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And maybe not even fulfilled, but as cliche as it sounds, it's like that God-shaped hole was there.
Well, yeah.
I mean, and I didn't know that's what it was. Yeah. What it was. Mm-hmm. Yes. Because I did Bible study and I tried to, but let's be honest, when I went to youth group, I was only there because my friends were. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely, I can see the ways that he continued to guide me through that.
Yeah. Okay, cool. All right. So then you get to college, you meet these two people yes. who are really influential in mm-hmm. your life. Mm-hmm. You rededicate or really come to a more personal understanding of who Christ is and why you need him in your life. Mm-hmm. And so you really kind of rededicate or surrender yourself to him, saying, okay, I'm not going to live for myself. I'm going to live for you is what yep. I'm understanding. Yep. Okay. And so from that point forward, did things change for you or what did life look like moving forward?
Yeah. So that was in, I think, like June of 2008. Mm-hmm. And I remember we were at church. So I say we. So myself, my two girlfriends, mm-hmm. and my now husband.
Okay.
And I remember, so they had like an altar call. And I remember telling my boyfriend at that point, I'm like, I have to go to the bathroom. So I go down and I was able. The next time Trey, my husband, I'll just say mm-hmm, that, mm-hmm. Saw me was up on the screen and I was in the baptismal. And I just remember, I didn't see him running, but as I come up out of the water, he was reaching over in the baptismal to hug me. So like
what?
The sweetest. Aww. Yes, it was one of the sweetest memories I have.
I have so many questions. Yes. So you told him you were going to go to the bathroom.
I did.
And instead you went and got baptized?
I'm pretty sure that's how it is. He might have a totally different story, but that's like, how my brain is remembering you?
Okay, this is really funny. So when did you decide to get in the baptismal? Were you in your chair thinking, I'm going to do it, but I'm afraid to tell Trey, so I'm just going to go and tell him I'm going to the bathroom?
So I think I had every intention of just going to the bathroom.
Oh, and it was then, on the way. Oh,
like the Lord,
the
was
Holy
like,
Spirit
no,
just
going to
snatched
this.
You up and absolutely. You ended up in the yes. baptismal.
Yes, I think it had been something that had already been obviously stirring.
Interesting.
But yes, I
don't know. That might go down in the books for this podcast. That I've interviewed a lot of people, a lot, and I have heard some really remarkable ways that the Holy Spirit is. I'm getting so.
I wish I saw a video. I know, sure there is somewhere.
I'm getting really like in the good Southern way. I'm tickled.
You're using my words.
I know, right? Yeah, you're rubbing off on me. Okay. Wow. I will not forget that. Thank you for sharing. Okay. So Holy Spirit just took hold of you and you were like, oh my gosh, I need to, this is it. And you just went to the baptismal and yes. and got baptized right then and there. I mean, you know, there are accounts in scripture of the Lord like calls somebody and they're baptized immediately. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, you're just reflecting biblical baptism. That's just what that is. Okay. So that's a fun story. And so now we're baptized.
Now we're baptized.
Yes. And what? And now what?
Okay. So that was 2008. Then flash forward 3 months. I was then engaged.
Okay.
Flash forward 2 months after that, I was then married.
Married. Okay.
Yes. So my husband, military, he was leaving for a training and okay. got a last minute like shortfall is what they call it, mm-hmm. and was able to get married quickly.
So it sounds like since he like made his way to the baptismal to hug you by the time you were being pulled up from submerging in the water, that he was a believer and that he was supportive of your faith journey.
Absolutely.
And so your marriage, mm-hmm. your young marriage mm-hmm. started out with a foundation of faith.
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay. Yes. Very good. So tell me now as a married person, I'd love to understand just how you experienced the hand of God over your life. Mm-hmm. over time, mm-hmm. now that you're in a marriage where you and your husband both have a relationship with the Lord.
This past December, we were married 17 years. And so we have three children. Our youngest is 11, our middle is 14, and our oldest is 20. He'll be 21 this year.
Okay.
And that math does not add up, I realize. So uh-huh. Harrison is my bonus son.
Okay.
But he was one when we started dating.
Okay.
And it has continued to be one of the biggest blessings of my life. So I start with that because that was a huge part of our beginning, was learning how to co-parent and be a blended family. And I go from being 21 and no kids to an instant family.
Mm-hmm.
So that was
That's a lot.
It was a lot. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so I definitely can see the Lord's hand and sovereignty in that. And I always wanted to be a mom, and the sweetness of giving me a child that I didn't birth was, just even thinking about it now, it just brings me mm-hmm. A sense of thankfulness, because infertility was something that crept in on us mm-hmm. early on in marriage.
Okay.
So I lost six before I had Tinley.
Oh my goodness.
And really kind of wrestling with that for many years of like, am I being punished? Am I ever going to be able to have a baby? Am I in a situation where really feeling hopeless and not understanding why my body couldn't carry? Because
mm-hmm.
I obviously could get pregnant, but mm-hmm. I couldn't hold on to the baby. So really wrestling with that, but also being grateful that I do have this child that I can help and mm-hmm. rear. And then, so we had Tinley, and then we had Clark almost immediately back to back. And then about, Clark was three, and my mom passed away. Mm. And when she passed away, pretty suddenly, I had a miscarriage 3 months after that.
Mm.
And then most recently, in October of this year, I had another miscarriage, or of last year, I mm-hmm. had another miscarriage. So infertility has continued to trickle throughout our story. And I have a tattoo on my arm that says, even if, and mm-hmm. I continue to go back to Daniel 3:17 of, but even if he doesn't, you will make it clear that your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. And I say that, and I kind of have that as an anthem for myself of like, even if you don't give me a baby, I know you're still good. And I have just tried to cling on to that and be receptive to his gifts, even if it's not what I thought I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So
that makes sense.
I hope that answers part of
a lot
of the hardship over the last.
It sounds like yes. it. Yeah, it sounds like you went through a lot. But even for that to be your anthem, it clearly there's a lot that happened over those years.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's a lot of loss and a lot of darkness. Mm-hmm. Throughout all of that hardship and those dark times, did you feel God's peace? Or did you feel turmoil, like where you were wondering where God's peace was?
Yeah. So I would say that I felt his peace. And I don't know that I even recognized that that's what it was for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing him continue to pursue my heart, even while I was angry, I think that it's a double-sided coin, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's living in the tension of mm-hmm. being hope-filled and mad.
Yeah.
And I think that he can carry both of those things.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I actually had pregnancy loss myself, and definitely not that's so much loss what you had to go through. I can't even imagine, because I can remember when I was recovering, I had a friend come over. She had a massage business, and she came over and said, I'm going to bring a table and I'm going to give you a massage in your home so that you can relax and mm-hmm. whatnot. And while she was giving me the massage, I just like started bawling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was almost like she was like working all of the emotion out of me in
yeah.
a way. But she said something to me that day that has stuck with me ever since. And I use it all the time because it's so true. She said to me, Jessica, God is in the business of turning darkness to light. He's been doing mm-hmm. it since the beginning, and he won't stop now.
Mm-hmm.
And when she said that, I thought, you know, there was a part of me that kind of didn't want to believe it, because there's something that consoles us mm-hmm. about just sitting in our muck,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like we don't want to get out
yeah.
because it should hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But there was also a part of me that her words brought hope.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know what? She's right. You know, this feels so dark. It doesn't feel like I'll ever, how can I get out of this darkness?
Yeah.
You know, and for her to say to me, God's been doing this since the beginning of time and he won't stop now.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, you know what, maybe he will bring light into my darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he will transform my darkness into light, you know?
Yes.
And he did.
Mm-hmm.
And he did. And I can see that he did in your life as well. So it's interesting as you journey with the Lord, just how he'll meet you in those moments. And it's like you said, you don't even realize
mm-hmm.
what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Or how he's even with you sometimes, but when you look back, you realize the protection that was around you. You realize
Absolutely.
The way that he was kind, like you said, kindness towards you, love towards you,
mm-hmm.
And that's just really remarkable. I think the way that how personal he is just so unique
mm-hmm.
To the God of the Bible. I mean, it's remarkable how personal he is. So I'm sure that these really hard seasons in your life built a lot of spiritual muscle
mm-hmm.
because you went through a lot at that time. And is there anything else that you want to share with us about things that have taken place or the ways that you've met God on your journey where you've kind of been able to take that spiritual muscle that you've we're building up during these really difficult times of journeying with the Lord through hardship for the next season in your life?
Yeah. So one of the most recent things I feel like has been our move to DC.
Okay.
And from
Kentucky?
Yes.
Okay.
So we're military, but my husband's active duty National Guard.
Okay.
So we stayed in Kentucky for most of his career thus far. I think we were, when we left Lexington, it was the easiest, yes. We didn't have to like pound down doors and try to figure out how this was going to work.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the hardest, yes.
Why was that?
So I think, well, we had bought our forever home.
Okay. Yep.
And
been there.
Know, yeah. I was okay. Like, oh, wait, this isn't.
It's not my forever home. Not. Wake up call.
Yes.
Yep.
So we thought we bought our forever home. We were leaving Harrison halfway through his senior year.
Oh, that's hard.
That was very, very hard.
Oh, my goodness.
I was leaving a job that I loved. And we're taking two kids who were in third and fifth grade or for third and sixth grade mm-hmm. at this point and really not knowing what to expect, not knowing what to expect with the schools, not knowing what to expect with where we were even going to live.
Right.
Yes.
What kind of work were you doing?
So I was in ministry full time.
Okay.
And I just continued to work ministry for most of my adult life.
Okay.
I worked for a human trafficking ministry that was based out of Kentucky.
Wow.
Which was fulfilling and hard and
I bet
heartbreaking and beautiful, all mm-hmm. kind of wrapped up into one.
So you won't believe this, but a couple of episodes ago, my podcast guest
uh-huh.
is actually someone who's been advocating for children who have been trafficked.
We will have to connect.
I know you will.
So see, this is why we have these conversations.
I know. I know. So if you haven't listened to this, the other episodes in this season, go back and listen.
Yes.
You'll hear Deb White. She's going to talk about that as well.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So in the midst of what ministry is in general, plus the heaviness of the kind of ministry I was doing, I kind of was getting my fulfillment from that and really,
that's like what made you feel close to God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. So it's what made me feel close to God. It also is what I feel like was giving me like my fire to continue to go. Maybe, mm-hmm. I mean,
your drive.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
I get that.
Yeah.
Cause I'm a career woman. I
yes.
know what you mean.
Yes. So I think leaving that was like, whoa, wait, what are we doing?
Yeah. Identity crisis?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. So as we continued to make this trek, I'm like, Lord, I don't know what we're doing. I was scared. I was tired. I think weary is probably a really good word because I really just was coming out of full-time ministry, vocational ministry in mm-hmm. general, and I just was tired. I knew that it was time for me to leave because of some other things that were going on. But I think when my husband was given the opportunity to take the job, it was kind of like, okay, this is what we're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
However, as we continued to trudge through and make the plans to come
difficult
and
decisions.
Sell the house,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and then the house didn't sell.
Right.
It was kind of like, how are we going to do this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how financially are we going to do this? How practically speaking are we going to do this? And what do all those details look like? And we lived in an Airbnb for a week when we moved here, and Fort Belvoir didn't have housing for us, and it was just a mess. I remember when we first got here, we went to breakfast like one morning and I literally broke down as we're leaving. And I was like, Lord, this is not what you had planned. Like, I know this can't be what you had planned for us. And I'm like, we have to go back home. We have to figure out how to make it work. And my husband was so kind. He's like, it's going to be okay.
Yeah,
it's going to be, this is not going to be easy, but it is going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
So fast forward, we found a house, which mm-hmm. was lovely, within a week. Like, it wasn't mm-hmm. even a long time, but it felt long.
Yeah.
And I remember going on a walk on the trail behind our house. And I just like, Lord, like, what do you want me to do? Like, this is really hard. And this is new, and I know no one, and it's February,
and I don't have a job, and I'm used to working full time.
Yes.
Yeah.
I also am homeschooling these two children and have no idea.
I've never done homeschooling.
Yes.
Yeah.
Besides COVID, right?
Yeah, right.
And I'm like, I don't know what you want me to do. And yeah. he was very kind and gentle with me, and I feel like he gave me three specific things, even in the midst of hard, mm-hmm. of where my priorities were supposed to lie. The first one was to spend time with him. Mm-hmm. The second one was to take care of my body. And the third was to love my people well. Mm-hmm. And whoever that is, I think in that time, I thought it was just our children and Trey. Mm-hmm. But I feel like he has even expanded that capacity to continue to love other people mm-hmm. well. But I think
the two greatest commandments,
yes,
love God and love others.
Yes. Isn't that fitting? Right. Yeah. But I think even in the midst of thankfully hearing very clearly what he wanted me to do, mm-hmm. I still was a wreck most days because my identity had always been in productivity, mm-hmm. And making sure that I had all of these things organized and in perfect working order. That's what you do when you are in administration mm-hmm. in general.
High achiever.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And I would not consider myself a perfectionist, but I do consider myself a productivity and efficiency, or like, mm-hmm. How can I get more done with less? Mm-hmm. And I just remember just that prayer of true surrender of like, I cannot do this. And mm-hmm. I need you to show me exactly how I am supposed to accomplish what you're asking me to, because right. in my own, I can't.
Right. Yeah. Well, and you know, I think back to the fact that you went through so many dark moments mm-hmm. Earlier in your marriage mm-hmm. and so much loss. And I'm sure that once you were on somewhat of the other side of that, you were able to retrospectively kind of look back and say, wow, God was with me then. Mm-hmm. And so now you're going to the Lord saying, I don't know how to do this. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do.
Yep.
But I don't want to put words in your mouth, but for my experience, it's because I know you were there with me yes, in the past.
Absolutely.
And so now it's like, that is not a question. Yep. I know that.
Yes.
I'm genuinely coming to you to try to just say to you, I need your help mm-hmm. because I cannot do this by myself.
Yep.
You know?
Yes.
And he has such a, like you said, a kind and gentle way mm-hmm. of meeting us in that space.
He does.
I think. So you're here in Northern Virginia.
Yes.
Your kids are here and you are no longer a career woman.
No.
And you, not that, I mean, you kind of always are.
Yes.
But you're doing something different with your time right now.
Yes.
You are a homeschool mom. Mm-hmm. Total, like, identity shift.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes.
But now that's kind of, it sounds like what you've said, kind of like in between the lines, is that God is showing you that your identity does not rest in what you do.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Tell me more about that thought.
Yeah. I think that he just continues to show me where my identity lies, and my identity lies in him. Mm-hmm. Not anything of productivity or even what I'm doing in general. Mm-hmm. Like, I can literally be doing
nothing. A role, a title.
Yes.
Yeah. And an earthly
yes,
title.
Yes. Right. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ so we can do good things he planned for us long ago.
Mm, and I love that one.
Yes.
Because he plans things for us in advance.
Yes.
Isn't that wild?
It sure is. And being able to like rest in that mm-hmm. and know that like, yeah, you're going to do this for the first part of your life. But we're going to pivot. And we're going to have we're going to have new opportunities for new kinds of growth.
Yeah.
And
contribution.
Yes.
Yeah. New kinds of contribution.
Yes.
Right.
So I think the way that my identity has shifted is it's not on one specific. I mean, it's literally a daily surrender. Just yes. FYI. This mm-hmm. is not something that like I've
you don't master
arrived
this.
To yeah. and I'm ready to go forward. But it's definitely something that I cannot depend on myself to find comfort or stability or truly being able to just rest inside of He has the perfect plans that He did long ago. And finding my identity in Him and who He says I am as His daughter is something that is, it's pivotal. Like yeah. when you can truly know that.
Yeah.
Now I still wrestle, but I know.
Yeah. So. Would you, is that the advice you would give to somebody who's struggling right now?
Yeah. I just think it's, you don't have to have it all figured out.
Right.
And you can rest in who He says you are.
Right.
And you are a child and you, that can be your only title.
Yeah.
And you can just rest in His goodness.
This is so awesome. I've really enjoyed learning more about your life. And wow, the way that God has just been part of your life from the very beginning of you attending church with your grandparents all the way through. And I'm telling you, your baptismal story is going down in the podcast record books. We are never going to forget that story, guys. So just keep it. I'm going to have to put like some sort of different graphic with your podcast episode so everyone knows how to find it. That was amazing. This was super fun, Katie. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Go to the description of today's episode to find more information about what we discussed. If you like this podcast, please click follow, share it with a friend, or leave us a review. And get excited because new episodes release every week.